I was determined as much as I could not to take the experience as a negative, but as an opportunity to get to know myself better. It was almost a form of self-analysis. You inevitably discover both sides of personality, the light and the dark. And I can see why people say, if you do enter into analysis, which I've never been in, that it is wise to do it in a company with a therapist, because when you come across the dark side, it's quite capable of swallowing you. The quote comes from Terry Waite in an interview with the Daily Telegraph back in September, marking the 25 years in November since his release from a solitary prison in Lebanon. The interview tells of the struggle that the former envoy of the Archbishop of Canterbury faced as he readjusted to life at home with the family. The darkness of the solitary confinement lingered, as having had to remove thoughts of family from his imagination, he then had to rebuild the notion of sharing life with people. Waite's images of two sides of a personality, images of light and dark, offer an insight into how we might understand John the Baptist's question to Jesus. That question, are you the one who was to come? John's a wild man, used to the freedom of the wilderness, and he's now trapped in the darkness, physically of a prison cell. Trapped in the darkness spiritually, for all he might hear will be rumour and gossip, and he grows uncertain of the role he's played in preparing people for the kingdom of heaven, and in his certainty that Jesus is the one who comes from God. The writer of the Gospel is still to tell us why John the Baptist has been imprisoned, although you'll know that the story doesn't happen until chapter 14. John was, however, imprisoned immediately following his baptizing of Jesus. It's not just John's appearance and preferred habitation of the wilderness that have marked him as outrageous to those who encounter him. His prophetic words preparing the way for the Messiah will have been unsettling to some of those who've encountered and listened to him. Calling people to re-examine their lives and return to the ways of love prescribed in Scripture by God, his unsettling and challenging comments were not just for ordinary people. In a world where the rulers were terrified of any potential threat to their power, John the Baptist must have caught their eye with his controversial, challenging of the style of life that the Herodian family exhibited. Herod the Great's granddaughter Herodias had already courted controversy by marrying her uncle Herod Philip I. Controversy is further exacerbated as Herod Antipas, Herod the Philip's brother, persuades Herodias to leave her husband for him. Unable to hold his tongue at the clear flouting of Jewish law, John had spoken out. Herod Antipas has John arrested, and he would have preferred to have had him killed, but he was afraid of the public response to the death of someone who was considered a prophet. Trapped in the darkness of a cell, possibly with only the story of the guards and potentially his own followers telling him what's happening in the world, the darkness begins to cloud John's own thoughts. Had his recognition of Jesus as the Messiah been wrong? As he sends his followers back to Jesus with the question, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect another? We might find ourselves asking, what was it that John was looking for that he has to ask this question? Jesus offers an indirect answer. His answer draws on the messianic readings of Isaiah 29 and 35, and he draws John back to the foundations of his faith and hope, that God is to be seen working in the midst. He takes God's light into the darkness of a prison cell in the long-held promise that the Messiah would be with them when the signs of the kingdom of heaven were seen in the changes to the lives of ordinary people. But Jesus does more than send light to John the Baptist. He then lightens the darkness of the crowd around him as he explains to them the purpose of John the Baptist, and in doing so, indirectly informs the crowd that he, Jesus, is the Messiah. John is the prophet that the Jews have been waiting for. John is the one who prepares the way for the Messiah. While not many of us here will have experienced the long-term deprivation of sense and imagination that some feel while in imprisonment, we will understand the sensation or thought of being imprisoned by our circumstances and even by our own thoughts and imaginations. Ill health, overwhelming workloads, bereavement, changing patterns of relationships all take their toll on how we feel about ourselves and the world in which we live and our faith. Isolated, it can be difficult to find the light of hope, and we feel abandoned. But it's not just as individuals that we may feel trapped in the dark. As an individual congregation, or as a national church, we're all too willing to live in the darkness that all is bleak and failing and not look for the positives. How willingly we fall into the trap of identifying a perpetrator of hurt and failing rather than recognise the positives. Would we readily admit we accuse Presbytery of failing us, or the Church of Scotland at 121 George Street, or a particular age group or gender, young people, men, families, those who appear to have left us sitting in the dark. In the celebration of a new member and the invitation to the communion table, we are invited to be reminded of the light and the slow-burning flame of faith. In an article on our passage from the Gospel, a young theologian called Kirsten Lee Southworth speaks of the slow transformation of the kingdom of God described by Jesus. Lightening our darkness, the kingdom of God is spread through acts of love and healing that spread across space and time like a yeast that eventually permeates the whole of humanity. When we lose our faith in this subtle revolution and begin to doubt the efficacy of this kind of love in the face of the powers that be, it can be important to take stock in how far we have already come. Just as Jesus reminded John of the deeds that were being done, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the dead are raised, we must remember to tell our stories of hope and triumph in the midst of fear and despair. At our table today, we are taken to the presence of Jesus to be reminded of the slow-burning change of faith. We encounter God's grace in the sharing of the bread and wine and in the meeting of hands and eyes as bread is passed amongst us. And we remember that we're not alone. Instead, perhaps, words of Albert Schweitzer have meaning for us as he says, "Sometimes our light goes out, but it is blown again into instant flame by an encounter with another human being. Each of us, the deepest thanks to those who have rekindled this inner light." Shaken from our darkness, can we give thanks for those like John who have marked the people and places of our world, who are to be challenged for their failing in valuing the creation and the people of God? Then may we be those who become the flickering lights of hope, who signal the changing pattern of our world, noticing the moments when God's Spirit creeps in and demonstrates Christ at the heart of life. Amen.